Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callan. I'm your host. And Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are exceedingly grateful that you are here with us this morning. We don't take your presence lightly. We know that the Lord is here because he's here wherever two or three is gathered in his name. He is here, and we thank God for that. We are not on the top of our game because we are suffering with this cold, but our Savior is still with us. He's still on the throne of our hearts. And we thank God that you're here with us as we minister this morning. And praise the Lord. Glory to God for all the good things that he has done for us, all that he's doing for us, all that he will do for us. We're excited about our Savior. This is the season for love, they tell you. But I believe that all seasons are for love. To love and care for each other. To have respect for each other. To honor our God, our Savior, our Lord, with everything that's within us. All that he has provided for us. All that he's doing for us. All that he will do with. We honor him with it. We hold back nothing from him, and we give all to him, because we only have what we have because of what he has done for us. We ask to praise the Lord this morning with prayer that those that are sick in their body will be healed this morning. Those that are mentally sick will be healed. Those that are broken will be fixed. We pray that he will heal and deliver today, that he will restore marriages today, that he will open doors that are closed and close doors that need to be closed in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for peace for Jerusalem. We pray that Hamas and Lebanon and all those nations will experience peace. That in this season of joy and peace, that they will find peace for their restless souls. Okay, be careful. I mean, be careful. Pray for my granddaughter and her friends. They're going down Boston, downtown Boston, and you know that it's very evil times now, so we are praying for their protection. That God protect them and keep them safe. Take them there safe and bring them back safe. In the mighty name of Jesus, that I'll be able to teach and preach this word today without worrying about what's going on with them. In Jesus' holy name. Yes, Lord. Pray for me and pray for my strength. And pray that the Lord would continue to heal my lungs. Pray this for, pray with us and pray that God will continue to watch over us, keep us safe while we seek his face. Yeah,
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We praise you, O God. We glorify your name. Thank you for a time of praise and worship this morning. God, that we are able to come and bow down, glorify your name, exalt you. You are worthy. There is no one that compares to you, Jesus. We bless your name. We praise your name. We glorify your name. We ask, O God, your forgiveness. We ask your mercy. We ask your grace. As we come with the heart of repentance this morning, O God, as always, bowing down before you, asking you to forgive us of our sins, of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, O God. We ask, O God, that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. O God, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for keeping us through the night, O God, with all the pain, physical pain we had through the nighttime, O God. It seems like the heart is acting up again. But we are thanking God and praising God because he kept us through the night. He didn't have to keep us. Could have let us cross over into oblivion, but he kept us through the night and brought us into this wonderful, marvelous day. And we are feeling much better right now. We don't know what the position is going to be. We have a trip to go into the Caribbean for 4 weeks, and we want to be in good health to spend time with family and friends. But this morning, we have a word, part two of the message of yesterday, that we want to deliver in your hearing and hope also in your receiving this morning, that you will receive this word. We came out of 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and chapter 7 on yesterday, and we want to go into 1 Kings chapter 9, and we're only going to do about 9 verses in there and leave the rest, go somewhere else. So, Father, we thank you. We ask you to bless the airways. Bless those that are listening by way of satellite radio, wind-up phones, or however they're listening. We ask, O God, that you speak all, O God, and allow us to hear. Allow us to receive this morning, O God, that they would look beyond the speaking of man and hear the voice of God. We pray today, Lord, that you bless all the pastors and bishops and evangelists and teachers that come on here from time to time to hear word from heaven. We ask today, Lord, that you bless us, O God, to speak the truth in love. Father, we don't know how long we are going to be in the earth realm, but while we are in this realm, O God, we ask you to keep us and keep us pointed, O God, to truth, faithfulness to you, Lord. In the awesome, mighty name of Jesus, we pray prayer. Now, we're talking about prayer is a gift of power from God, part two. Prayer is a gift of power from God, part two. So we want to go into 1 Kings chapter 9, and we're going to jump around a little bit as the Lord shows us in the word what he wants us to release on today. So here in this chapter, God is speaking to us through King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 9. And we recognize that the power is of God, not of man. When we pray, we experience God's power. We experience God's presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we are in prayer, we find out that we are closer to him than anyone can even comprehend how close we are. We find that we could start praying and praising God, and all of a sudden that there's a feeling that come over us that we start weeping and we are lamenting and all these type of different feelings that comes on us because we recognize that we're in his presence. And we experience that touch, that anointed, that feeling of comfort, love, and compassion that comes over us while we are praying and seeking his face. Hallelujah. As soon as we finish in praying, the enemy comes to try to snatch that feeling away from us because that feeling is a peaceful feeling, loving feeling, a feeling of compassion and mercy and grace that comes over us. Here in the book of First Kings, chapter 9, hallelujah, glory to God. And let's start at verse 1. The Bible says, it happened that as Solomon finished the building of the house of God, the king's house, and all the things Solomon desired to do, God appeared to Solomon a second time as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. God said to him, I have heard your prayer and your plea, which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me as David your father walked, with integrity of heart and with uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you my ordinance and my judgments, then I would establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever. As I promised David your father, saying, a man will not be cut off from you upon the throne of Israel. Verse 6 says, if ever you or any of your descendants turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my ordinance that I have set before you, and you go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then I will off from the face of the land that I have given to them, even the house which I have consecrated for my name. I will cast away from my face, and Israel shall become a proverb, a mocking, and an object of taunting among all the people. Verse 8 says, this house shall become a heap of ruins. All those passing by and be appalled by it and hiss, and they will say, oh, what on what account did God do this to this land and to his house? And they will say, because they have forsaken God and the God who brought their ancestors out from the land of Egypt, and they embrace other gods and bow down to them and serve them. Therefore, God brought on them all of these disasters. Now, as you're looking at this, you begin to dissect this and look at the word of God. You see that it was not God's intention. God's intention was to love on these people continuously and continue to bless them continually. All God required of the people was to serve him with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul. This is what God wanted. He's requiring the same thing of us, for us to serve him with everything that's within us. But the way that the world is situated right now, the way that the world is coming at the people, at us, it is showing us all the things that the flesh wants. So there's a great distraction, a great deception that's coming at us. Even the people of God is coming at us. It's coming at us. Why? Because it does not want us, the world does not want us to serve God with everything that's within us. Here he said to Solomon, I will give you everything. Everything, in other words, I've already prepared everything for you. Even as I've told your father, even as I've told your ancestors, I would bless them, and I would make sure that they're situated is well, situation is well taken care of. But we find out God also laid it on the table what they had to do. That was a blessing to my heart. That they didn't have to be out there like a group of people with their heads cut off. God has put the cards on the table and tell them, look, this is what you got to do. If you do this, this is what you would get. You just have to do what I had already ordained for you to do. It's before your eyes. You don't have to guess what you ought to be doing. God said, this is what I need you to do. Honor me with your lifestyle. Honor me with your worship. Honor me with your praise. Seek my face and not my hand. I will bless you. God is saying this to the people. The people are busy praying to keep up with the other nations. Look at us. Look at our nation. We were supposed to be a nation of believers. Now you have people now that are coming against the church. They're going into the church and killing the preacher. In Oklahoma, the man drove almost 1,000 miles to say this man drove over almost 1,000 miles. Go into the church and kill the pastor. Don't know the pastor. He is driving from his home in Oklahoma or some other state he was coming from, and said, but he went to Oklahoma. And say he was just driving and his mindset that he was going to kill a preacher. Didn't matter who the preacher was. It didn't matter if the preacher was white, black, Chinese, Asian. It didn't matter what race he was, what type of preacher he was. Was he the apostolic preacher? Was he the Catholic preacher, Pentecostal preacher? What type of preacher? It didn't matter. This man was just looking to kill a pastor. And he went into the church and killed the pastor. Because the world is so filled with evil right now. And if you talk anything good, they don't want to hear it. I was going through some stuff last night. And I was hearing the Lord say how easy it is for preachers to preach a happy message. How easy it is for preachers to preach a happy message that make the people say, oh, preacher, you're preaching good. You're preaching well, preacher. Oh, I just love that. Oh, keep on. And then the preacher says this, can I have 5 more minutes? Can I have 10 more minutes? Oh, preacher, you can preach as long as you want to, because why? The preacher's preaching happy message. There's no conviction in the message. But the moment that the preacher begins to preach against sin, they start squirming in their seat and they don't show back up. They don't show back up because they don't want that message. That message does not suffice their flesh. It does not tickle their ear. It doesn't fulfill that itchy ear that they have. Go over to, oh my God, let's go over to Jesus Have Mercy. We are in chapter 9. Let's go over here to Second Samuel, and let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're talking about this prayer, this power of prayer that is so powerful that we don't use it enough. We don't use it enough. Matter of fact, if the pastor called and said, well, look, we're going to have prayer service Wednesday night instead of Bible study. Instead of midweek service, we're going to have a praise service. We're going to pray. Everybody going to have a chance to pray. Everybody going to have a chance to intercede. Then we all going to get together, intercede all together, unison. Well, you're not going to see a lot of people show up. You're not going to see a lot of people show up because they don't want to come to pray. You know what they want? They want pastor to fast and pray for them. This is what it says. Pastor, I can't make it to prayer service tonight. Can you remember my family? Can you remember this and that? That's what they tell the pastor. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12, I will raise up your offspring. God's sixth promise refers to Solomon, as evidenced by the following promise, which refers to the descendant kingdom. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 29 and 30. In addition, 2 Samuel 7 and verse 13 states that this person will build a house for God's name, a feat Solomon accomplished. Now, here in this book, when your days are full, you will lie down with your ancestors. I will raise up your offspring after you, who will go out from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13 says, he will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 14, I will be a father to him, and he will be a son for me, whom I will punish when he does wrong, with a rod of men and with blows of human beings. But my loyal love shall not depart from him as I did from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Now, God said, I'm not going to do to him what I did to Saul. You hear what God is saying? God wants to bless our families. This is what he says. God wants to make sure that we have more than enough. That is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to 16. In 1 Kings, he says the same thing. God wants to bless us. God wants us to seek his face. He wants us to be an obedient children. Go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Pray for me and keep me in your prayers, because I'm going away in a month or so. I haven't seen my nephew in 40 plus years. And me back in the country so that we can look at some property. You know, he wants to invest in some property, but he wants me to be there because I am his only uncle that's alive. Let's go to Psalm 89. Glory to God. But, you know, I'm dealing with a lot of stuff in my physical body, so we trust in the Lord to keep us. Psalm 89, and let's start at, verses 4, and then we're going to jump around. Let's say read verse 4. Well, let's start at verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. This is the psalm of Maskell of Ethan. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. That's also in Psalm 119, verse 89. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 16. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. Verse 5 says, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the generation of the saints. God is loving on praise, on worship. This is what he desires. This is what moves the heart of God. Not begging him for this and begging him for that. Praising him because he's done more than enough already. Time with him is more than gold and silver. I was reading a highlight in my computer this morning about Solomon. And they would say that this man, one man brought, Solomon had built these ships in Zion. And this man had sent people that could manage the ships. And they brought Solomon, I didn't write it down, but so many tons of gold they brought to Solomon. I can imagine, they said, Solomon had more gold than any person on earth would ever have. One man. Because he was doing right. It wasn't until he started living with all of these women and started worshiping these other gods that God had to move stuff from him. Do you know when we honor God, God blesses us? He continued to bless us day after day after day when we honor him. When we dishonor her with him, when we reject him and we go other ways, we find out that things start happening. We wonder, why is this happening to me? Why is that happening to me? Because we're not spending time with him. We're not obedient. We're not making sacrifices to him, giving him our time. And he is not so much concerned about your sacrifice. He is concerned about your obedience. How obedient are you to God? Hallelujah. This is what God is looking for. So here in Psalm 89, he says, verse 6 says, for who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the Almighty? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. See, everyone else that we look at, no one compares to him. No one deserves the reverence, the worship that he deserves. It belongs to God, not to the car dealership, not to your husband, not to your wife, not to your children, not to the thing that you want to worship and bow down to. One man got him a brand new Bentley. Matter of fact, he bought this storage trailer. And this millionaire guy stored up all these safes, and he had this silver gray Bentley, looked like brand new, was in this and was covered down with special cloth. Nice sofas and everything. He had all this, he had many trailers, but this particular trailer, this hustler, he got a tip that the trailer was going to go on auction and that there may be good stuff in there. Well, he started pulling up, couldn't see it because a big trailer. They had to even drop the trailer off to a special place. And he paid £15,000 for the trailer. And when he's got his buddies over there, they got the safes out, they had a fight. They had no code to the safes. So they had to rent all the different machines and jackhammers and stuff to beat the safes open. And he found a couple thousand pounds of worth of gold coins and one. And another safe, he found a diamond ring that worth a few thousand pounds. But when he got all the sofas and all that stuff, but they worth some money because they would actually look new. Just needed dusting off. And when he got to the back of the trailer, there was a covered car.
It was a classic Bentley. Plush on the inside. Worth about 65,000 pounds. Used. But it looked brand new. The man started worshiping. Worshiping how great the Bentley was. You know, we give more worship to materialistic things that rust and fade out, that moth and thieves can destroy. But the worship that God deserves, we don't even give to him. We can't spend the time to worship him and bow down before him and give him that deserved the honor and the glory. They worship just get you a new car. You would even want to hurt people that lay their hands on your car after you detail your car. You know when you detail the car and it's in the summertime and you just park it somewhere where the sun can really hit it. And everybody wants to look at it. Especially when you come between the boys and you park the car. You park it away from the other cars because you don't want nobody to touch it. Lean up next to it. One man shot another man three or four times because the man had leaned up next to his fence. He had a white picket fence. He worshipped this house was so nice, and his fence was jet white. He painted himself, spray painted. And then the guys come down and lean up next to the fence, he shot the guy. Because he was worshiping the fence. But he says here that no one deserved the reverence, the glory that belongs to Yahweh. He said, "Oh Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the region of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them." He tells the waves how far they can go. This is what he does. He's so powerful. He's so awesome. He controls the waves of the oceans. This is the God that we're talking about. This is the God that we pray to, that we worship. Because we know that he's all-powerful, he's all-known and all-seen, and he can control the things that we can't control. "Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Where you know that you know that you know the sound that come from God. You can walk in the light of your countenance. Matter of fact, you walk with safety. You walk with peace. One lady says, she says, "I'm not afraid to go outside." She said, "because I know my God is my protector. He's not going to let anything happen to me." She was an older lady. She lived a life serving the Lord. She was a widow. She had no children. But she wasn't afraid because she knew her God. The Bible said, "they that know their God shall do great exploits." "In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense. and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Jump down to verse 36. You can read this whole psalm. It's so powerful. This is a psalm that you can lift up in prayer. Psalm 89. Powerful, powerful psalm. I mean, it speaks all about God. When we are spending time with Him, He hears all that we say. But what we are saying to God ought to line up with His Word. Folk are too busy trying to tell God stuff that God already knows. We want to tell Him about the neighbor down the street. We want to tell Him about the folk in the church that's sitting, that just taking up space. Instead of telling God about how wonderful He is, He know He's wonderful, but tell Him anyway. Tell Him how awesome He is, how majestic is His name in all the earth, that you exclaim righteousness, holiness to His name. Tell Him these things. This is how David talked to Him. He says here in Psalm 89, verse 36, He said, His seed shall endure forever, and is strong as the sun before me. Verse 36 says, it shall be established forever as the moon and as faithful witness in heaven. Selah. 38 says, but thou hast cast off and abhor. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. See, let me tell you something. We have a duty to God. Our duty is to worship Him, praise Him, bow down before Him. Lift up those that are lost before Him. Not only those that are in the church building, not only those that are of the household of faith, but those that are outside that are still running the street in sin. We are also supposed to pray and talk to God about the folk that are acting simple. God's the only one that can change the heart of the simple. Not the pastor, not the priest. God does the changing. He does the changing. He does the renewing. Hallelujah. That's why we exalt Him for His greatness. We bow down before Him because He's mighty. Glory to God. So, the psalmist says to God, thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 16. You see, John says, Paul says the same thing. Don't allow anyone to cause you to lose your crown. We get caught up with people that are not going in the same direction. The Bible says two cannot walk together unless they're in agreement. We are trying to bring people to Christ, and He said no one can come except He draw them. He does the drawing. What we need to do is pray for people. I'm not hanging up with you when you're still hitting the pipe. I'm not hanging up with you when you're still fornicating, to come in the country, stealing, lying, and gambling. I am not hanging up when I'm praying for you. I still love you anyway. You don't have to walk with somebody that's living a promiscuous lifestyle to love them. You can love them while you're praying for them on your knees. Getting calluses on your knees interceding for their salvation. You think you got to go to the gambling den to get them saved? You think you got to go to happy hour to get them saved? No, pray. Pray can do what no money can do. It can go where no man can go. Prayer can. It's a powerful spirit. It comes from God. Prayer. Woman laying on the hospital bed. I was watching that stuff here, and that thing just blew my mind. I was laying on my bed and started crying. True story. And the doctor was telling the woman that she had lung cancer and breast cancer and stomach cancer and all these different cancers. I mean, it seemed like there was no place in her body that there was no cancer. And the woman said, she's not worried. Her family members are crying, weeping. She says, I'm not worried because I know my God is going to heal me. What a testimony. She is weeping, talking to her God, while others are lamenting because they think that their family members are going to be leaving this earth realm soon. She is on her, the people thought, her family thought. But she was still trusting God. She wasn't giving up on God because she had all these serious infirmities in her body. God, when you give up on God, you make God remove the crown. Remove your crown. You start serving other entities. Serving the man because you're in love with him. Serving the woman because she makes you feel good, fulfill your needs. Worshiping your boss. Your boss says, I want you to work Sunday double time. I'm going to pay you double time just to come in and work. A few hours in the hours that you got to come in and work is the hours that you ought to be giving to God. Pastor, I can't show up on Sunday. I'm not coming on Sunday because my boss, he's going to pay me double time. I just got to go in and work 4 hours. So we give the man the time that belongs to God. Listen to what he said in this psalm. Psalm 89, verses 40. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. Listen. When we reject God, when we deny him what belongs to him, God removed the hedges. The hedges represents the protection. The protection that God has placed around us. You wonder why you're going this place, you're going next place. People are getting hurt in neighborhoods that we've been in. People lost their lives. But we came out safe. We didn't have no bulletproof vests. We didn't have no weapons. But God protected us when we couldn't even protect ourselves. People were dying. And we get to know God as our Lord and our Savior. As soon as we begin to prosper, we say, I don't have time for all that stuff. All that praying and fasting and reading the book and listening to scripture. I don't have time for that. But God says, you don't have time for him. I'll just show you. I still love you anyway, but I'm going to move the hedges from around you. I'm going to move your protector because God can't hit you. He'll never hit you. But he'll move the protection. He said it right here. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Excuse me. Even your neighbors will find themselves laughing at you. They remember when you used to boast about this God, this sovereign Lord that you serve, how proud, how excited you were about him. And all of a sudden, you turn your back on him because God never moved. You turn your back on him. You don't want to serve him. You don't want to pray. You don't want to fast. You don't want to talk about him anymore. You were excited to tell people on your job. Every chance you get, you tell somebody about it. All of a sudden, something happened in your family, in your marriage, with your children, on your job. They cut your hours or something. a family member cross over. I remember when my daughter crossed over. She was 30, 37, 38 years old. Young, beautiful. I have a picture in my Bible with my mama, and they crossed over, and one of my brothers. And we had to do the eulogy. Well, you know, she had a rabbi, because she was Jewish, the rabbi did half, the eulogy I did half. People said, how can you do this? And I did the ministry on Blog Talk that day. She's crossed over already. I still got to do what God called me to do. I'm not the best at what I do, but I do what I do to my best, to my ability. He says, listen, listen, all that pass by the way spoils him. People take advantage of you, take your stuff. You don't have no protection anymore. And even you become a reproach to your neighbors. They joke about you, make fun at you. He says, thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. God strengthen your adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Now, when I study this word here, I'm thinking to myself, why would I turn my back on God and give my enemy power over me? Because God will use your enemies to drive you back to your knees. You know that, right? He'll use our enemies to drive us back to our knees. Because when we realize that there's no other place that we can go to find comfort, we'll turn back to God. Most of us, we'll turn back to God some way or another. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to praise him till he call me home. I want to love him until he call me home. You know, some people say I'm going to love him until I can't love. No, I'm going to love him till he call me home. Even going in the last word, I want to tell him how good he is. I want to tell him about his faithfulness, his compassion, his mercy, how he forgave me when I wasn't worthy of forgiveness, how he extend mercy to me when I was worthy of death. I want to tell him all that stuff till he called me home. Soon as something go wrong, you don't want to praise God no more. You say, oh, no, I ain't got time for that. Here, he says, thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and has not made him to stand in the battle. You see, when we begin to walk away from God and we walk in the opposite direction, strength leads us to. You understand? Even strength leaves us. You don't feel strong anymore. That's why David says in Psalm 51, he talks about the bones. Listen to what David said in Psalm 51. It blesses me. He says, oh my God, this. Let me get here to the verse I want to hit you out. Bless. When he told the Lord to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, he said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. He says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness of, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. He began to talk to God. In verse 8, he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He told the Lord, hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. You hear what David says? He pleaded with God. You see, when we walk away from God, even our bones feel like they're broken. The spirit is so weighed down that your bones feel like they're broken. When you get up and know, look, sometimes
You're going through, your body don't feel good. You're full of cold, like mine. I got a lot of cold in my body right now. My sinuses are acting up. My heart is acting up again. And what I do, I just sit up on the bed. My wife is sleeping, and I'm praising God. She's sleeping. I don't disturb her. I'm talking to God because I know that's where my help comes from. Not from having a big bank account or being able to go here or go there. I was praising him the other night out at job. It seemed like people are not calling yet because the weather's not cold enough for furnaces and stuff to be broken. But I was praising God. You know, I was telling God, I said, God, look, even in the time that my life that I'm living, that you made it possible that I can go to any country in the world that I want to. Any country, and I don't have to think about where the money going to come from. I mean, I got to pay the bill back. But God has made provisions for me to go anywhere in the world I want to go to. Lord, he said, go there and preach, I can go. And I was thanking him. Because God will take care of you if you do right, if you praise him, if you glorify him. You're not begging. I don't beg him for anything. Because I always say, you may say boasting, but it's not boasting. I always say that God gave me more than enough. More than enough. When you know that we are taking care of people here on Block Talk Radio. I had another call the other night. Some people sent messages from another country saying that they can't put, they can't. Buy toys, little simple toys for a few dollars for their kids for Christmas in other countries. They can't buy presents for them. And I was saying to myself, how do we just put food, blocked our family, just put food on the table that some folks can put some Christmas food on the table in other countries. And you don't want to praise him. I said, Lord, I can go to the fridge. I got peanut butter, I got jelly, I got lemon juice, I got sugar, I got honey. You know what I'm saying? I got pancakes in the fridge. Why don't you want to praise him? Do you always have to have prime rib? Do you always have to have some spare ribs and fish and salmon and all that stuff? Man, look and see that you have more than enough. Enough to praise him. And somebody don't have two crackers to put little jelly on. I'm telling you, and God allowed me to see that stuff, and it breaks my heart that I can't do more. And every day they tell me, where are you going to get this money? I got an email the other night from Sister Tina. Well, just keep your phone on, because I might call you at any time with the 800 number. I said, Lord, when are you ready for us to receive the money? You're going to call them. They can't turn it down. Whoever them big people is that have the earthly realm have the authority to sign that paper to release. They can't stop it. Not when God says it's time. So I said, okay. God going to make time so we can help people. Let's go over to glory to God. Let's see what scripture we want to go to now. Because Jesus have mercy. Bless the name of the Lord. Go to chapter 6 of 1 Kings. Let's see if we go over here. Glory to God. Just jump around the book. We'll go somewhere else next week. The Lord say the same thing, and we are in the land of the living. You can't say you're going to do something, you know, straight off because you say, well, I'm God's child. I'm going to do this. No. Because you don't know. You don't know. We don't know what tomorrow brings, what's the plan for tomorrow. God can call us home tonight. But if it's God's will that we be in the land of the living next week, and God said go somewhere else, we'll go somewhere else. We'll teach on something else. No. Here in 1 Kings chapter 6, all of this is all about Solomon and Solomon's obedience to God. Until the time come, maybe we get there, where Solomon became disobedient. And I want you to know that he did become disobedient. Hallelujah. Because the enemy, it don't care who you are. He doesn't care what position you hold in the kingdom. I want you to know this. I have enough scriptures on this teaching that can last us 2 or 3 weeks.
But they said, what Solomon, when Solomon began to marry all them other women, and, you know, because this was the plan. They were not supposed to marry up with the Canaanites and the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Amorites and the Moabites and all this stuff. They, the Jewish people, were not supposed to do that. They were supposed to marry to their cousin, to their sister, to their brother, to the aunt, to the uncle, all this stuff they were doing to keep this thing pure as all Jewish. But then they started stepping over that rim and started marrying to these people that were worshiping different gods, Baal, Asherah, the sun, the moon, all the different gods that were worshiping. You understand? And then it became offensive to God because they were giving the worship that belongs to God to all of these, to Baal and all these satanic entities. So here in chapter 6, glory to God, of 1 Kings, he said, and it came to pass in the 480th year, after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Zim, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. And the Lord, and the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length therefore was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. Excuse me. If you read in the book of Ezekiel 41, it tells you the whole, all the measurements and all this stuff. Well, plainly, Solomon was obedient and he was doing exactly what God wanted done. Because King David, Solomon's daddy, could not build a house because he had blood on his hand. And God was not allowing him to build. God loved David. He said David was a man after his own heart. Why? Because David repented. Every chance he get, he repented. But he still keep messing up all the time. Just like we do. We mess up. We repent. We mess up. We keep messing up all the time. Well, God said, I can't let you build my house. David had the plan. He had the blueprint. God gave him the blueprint. He gave it to Solomon. Solomon built God's house first, and then he built his house, his palace. Now the Bible says, the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits was the length thereof, according to the breadth of the house. And 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house, 30 feet, 15 feet. And for the house, he made windows and narrow lights. And again, the wall of the house, he built chambers round about against the walls of the house, round about both of the temple and of the oracle. And he made chambers round about. The nethermost chamber was 5 cubits. Now, let's tell you all about the dimensions of the house that Solomon's built. These are prayer chambers, places that people could go and pray. There were places that it was baptismal places. You know, there was different porches. I had 5 porches. So there's places that they could enter in, and there was always this pool that you could be baptized. Now, the house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready before it was brought thither. In other words, the stones was already cut out to different size, different measurements. So when Solomon, they come to Solomon, all they had, the builders, the rock builders, stone builders, or the masons, all they had to do is place them in place and seal them. Just like when you go to the store, now you go to the hardware store, or you go to Lowe's or the place, Home Depot, and you go, you buy cinder blocks. They already made. They got different sizes. And then they got slabs of concrete you can buy. You know, like when we are setting air conditioning units, we buy slabs. Though they make a slab out of fiberglass now, which is very easy. The concrete usually take two people to carry, but the fiberglass slabs, one man can put it on only with one hand and carry it to put the air conditioning. So everything was prepared to build the house of the Lord. And Solomon had so much help that was coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, so that he had the help that he needed, desire to build the temple of God. And see, when you are focused on honoring God with your labor, God will give you the help that you need. When your lifestyle honor God, God will give you all, will make all the provisions for you. You say, well, how can I pay this? How can I pay that? I say, God just said, trust me. Trust me with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your way, acknowledge me and I'll direct your path. God said, trust me. Solomon didn't have to figure out. When Queen of Sheba comes, she had more than enough things for Solomon. Because she saw him as the wisest man. And she brought everything that Solomon needed, more and more. This is the way God blessed him. He didn't have to take up a telephone. He didn't have to blow the trumpet to tell nobody to bring stuff. People were just bringing stuff. They were just bringing stuff because he was an awesome man of God, until he started messing with the women. See, Satan knows what we like. You hear me? Satan knows exactly what we like, and that's what he's going to bring. That's what he's going to use to distract us, delay us, and if possible, destroy us, hinder us from doing God's will. How many pastors are falling? Pastors are killing their wives because they want to get the wife out of the place, out of this world, so they can have another woman. All this stuff is going on. You got to go on YouTube. You see this stuff. I said, why? Why the man killing wife? Beautiful woman. All this stuff is going on because we are close. We are close to the return of the Savior. So Satan is turning up the heat. You know, he's turning up the heat. And people are falling for his life, from the government to your household, to your job. The heat is being turned up. That's why you need to have your eyes open. You need to have your spiritual eyes open, because people got eyes and can't see, got ears and can't hear. Got feet and walk in the wrong places. We need to open our eyes, God, to open our spiritual eyes to sing that song. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see you. Well, you need to see the devil. You need to see all the works of Satan and his agents, how he sent up plans to kill us, to stop us, hinder us from doing the will of God, from praising God, from worshiping God. But we'll get back to this next week. We'll get back to this next week. The Bible talks about all that Solomon did in building the house of the Lord. And you know what I like about when you study about the building of the temple? That it blesses you if you study it. It'll make you put God first. Solomon could have done anything. He had so much of everything. Diamonds, gold, silver, bronze, zinc, lead. Everything he had, so much, more than enough. All types of fibers. Silk, purple, all type of linens, all type of stuff he had. Camels and goats and sheep. Only thing he didn't have was pigs. He had vineyards, all type of stuff Solomon had. He could have guessed and pushed his chest and said, I don't need to fool with that God anymore. I got more than enough. But Solomon, he said, I'm going to build the God of my father's house first. As you look and you study the word of God, you see how relentless Satan is. Satan doesn't care how focused you are. I got to tell you this today. Satan does not care how focused we are. Any moment that he gets us out of focus of doing what God called us to do, he'll drop what we call a monkey wrench in the game. He'll drop a distraction in your story to make you say, well, look, I'm not going home to my wife tonight. I'm not going to my husband tonight. This man on my job in checkmill, he's been saying nice things to me that my husband haven't. Or this girl been saying stuff to me that my wife don't say to me. So, man, she's saying stuff that just make my gray hair get black. I just got to be with her. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's Satan. When a woman that's 21 years old going to look at you and tell you that, how fine you are, you're 75 years old. You know she needs some glasses. You know she needs some glasses, but that's Satan. And what happened with you and us, that all of a sudden we feel like we're so important. Because they're messing with your ego now, putting you up. And this is what they did to Solomon. Solomon had so much. And then the women start coming after him. I figured that Solomon was a handsome man. He was well built. He was well built. Had a nice physique. And he was very attractive. Plus, he had plenty gold. You know me, he had plenty gold. He had plenty of everything. Everything to draw the women to him. Plus, he was serving God. And the devil don't care how about your gold. He wants to stop you from encouraging people to serve God too. You know, because when you serving God, that's a deterrent for Satan. Said, no, 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 I can't have you doing that. I put sickness on his body, but he's still praising God. I take him close to death, but he's still praising God. Said, no one there. You know, he doing everything to stop us from praising. Block talk was done for a whole week. The satellite system has still got that thing in the dashboard there. We are currently experiencing an issue with our live broadcast system. Our engineers are working to fix the issue. You see, but we are able to get on now. Last week we couldn't get on. It wouldn't even let me get in. I called, but it wouldn't let me. But we're thanking God. Father, we thank God. We thank God for this man of God that has waken up our spirit, man, to even more truth, oh God, showing us how deceptive Satan is and that he would even try to deceive us and stop us, oh God, from honoring you, from worshiping you and praising you, oh God. We pray, Father God, that even right now that you bless this holy communion, oh God, as today is our Sabbath day, Lord. And we ask you, Father, to bless this holy communion. Bless this wheat of the field that represent the body of Jesus Christ that's been broken for us. And this fruit of the vine, oh God, that represents his blood that has been poured out, shedded from the cross, came down his legs, down his face, and down his brow. As they strip his skin with the catline whip. And he didn't say a mumbling word. He paid the price for my sin and my brothers and sisters' sins out there in the world. The price that we owed that we could not pay. Lord, I ask you to bless this wheat of the field that represent the body of our dear Savior Jesus Christ. And the fruit of the vine, Father, we ask you to transform these articles from the natural to the supernatural. That as we partake of these on this holy Sabbath day, Lord God, that we will partake of healing for our physical body as your word is healing for our spiritual body. Father, I thank you. I ask your forgiveness as always, Lord. As I repent for any thought, any word, any action that I may have committed, known or not known, that I might not partake of these unworthily. Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let us break and eat. Take, eat. Break and eat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. After the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till it come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him of that bread and drink of that cup.
For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the word. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, or wait. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word and to this holy communion. Let us all drink together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this healing balm that we just partake of, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it heals us from the inside out. Even what the enemy was trying to do to our bodies will not work. But you said, beloved, I wish that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Thank you, Father God, for giving us this Sabbath day, a day that we did not know that we would have. But you granted us to be part of this day. There's many that was here on Friday, but they're no longer here today. You kept us into this Sabbath. We ask you to bless those that are hearing and those that would hear this message, that they would examine themselves. That means that they would look at their own hearts before they partake of Holy Communion, whether it be the first Sunday or be the Sabbath on the Sabbath days. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you help them to just examine their own hearts and that they will repent before they partake. That, Lord, that healing would manifest in their bodies also. Father, we thank you so much for your Son, for all that he has done for us, all that he's doing for us, and all that he will do for us, to keep us on that straight and narrow path. Father, bless those that are unsaved. Bless them to hear and come to the cross, that the blood may drop on them and wash them and cleanse them from all unrighteousness, Father God. Draw the lost to you today, Father, and every day. Lord, we know that the world is getting wickeder and wickeder. Somebody say wickeder and wiser, but I say wickeder and wickeder. Lord, we ask, God, that you do what only you can do, God. Touch the north wind, the south wind, the east wind, and the west wind, and draw lost souls to the kingdom. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and Jesus' holy name we pray. The line is open for anyone that want to respond. If anybody want to respond, you could respond. I am finished. The apostle was on the line, and so Minister Jones and his wife was on the line. Brother Mark, we thank God for you all, and we pray, God, that you all have here a very Merry Christmas. You know, enjoy yourself with family and friends. Don't eat too much. And if you have extras, give to somebody that don't have. We bless the Lord for you all and for the time that we share together. God bless you all. I am going to pray, close out, because see, nobody's saying anything, so we're going to pray and close out. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day. Thank you for the word that you allow us to share today with your people. We thank you for everyone that came on today and ate with us this morning. We ask, Father God, to watch over Pastor Joyce Stewart and Apostle Ronnie Stewart. Watch over their ministry. And Lord, we ask that even in this Christmas season, that you draw others to their ministry, not just to come to church for Christmas, because we know that Easter and Christmas and Good Friday, the churches are usually filled. Everybody wants to go to the building. But we ask that you draw draw souls that would stay with the ministry, or that would continue with the ministry, to help the ministry to grow and flow in the things of God. We pray this today. Lord, bless Brother Mark and bless his wife. Bless the children. Lord, he said he's going through so much and contending with so much tax, Lord. We ask you, Father God, to speak to him. Let him hear your voice, O God, and draw him closer. That, Father God, that he'll begin to experience freedom. Freedom in you, Lord. Lord, because it's not until we completely give ourselves to you. Even when we are sick in our bodies, Lord, we are still free. Oh, God, we still have the victory. Even when our bodies don't feel right, we still have the victory, Lord. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for the victory. We ask you now, Father, as we leave this time, but never your presence, we ask you to bless us. Bless us, oh, God, in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Father, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. We are praying today, oh God, that you fill us. Fill us fresh, oh God. Cause our cups to overflow with righteousness, with holiness, with long-suffering, with patience, oh God, with forgiveness, with mercy, with grace, oh God. Fill our cups with the things that make a difference in heaven, oh God, that will make a difference here on earth, oh God. We are praying today, Lord God, for everyone, Lord, that you have connected us with, oh God. Lord, in the natural and in the spirit, Lord God. We pray today, Lord God, that you continue to add to the church, to the local churches, oh God. Lord, we ask you to wake up the pastors to truth, that they begin to speak truth without fear, oh God. That they begin to speak against sin, oh God, that they don't be afraid of speaking because they're trying to please the world. Lord, let them know that it's you that we are called to please, Lord, not the world. And Father, as we leave this line but never your presence, O God, we know that you are doing a mighty work in us and that you will continue until the day of Christ Jesus. We ask you to bless us coming and bless us going. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today that will make all the difference in somebody's life today. Believe what I'm telling you. Just to tell them that you love them and that God loved them and that Jesus is the only way. You know, sometimes people, all they want to hear is somebody loved them. That's all people want to hear, to know that somebody loved them. And it makes a difference in their lives. You ever say, well, just tell them? Yes, tell them. I remember when I came in out of the cold, because that's what I like to call it. When I came in out of the cold and I was in the church building, and the pastor told me, he says, we love you, son. I couldn't believe that they loved me because I wasn't used to hearing that in the streets. Told me that they loved me. And I was elated. Somebody loved me. You understand? That makes all the difference. So we thank God for you all. We thank God for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. So have a blessed weekend and have a Merry Christmas. And may God continue to bless you in all your endeavors. And we look forward to seeing you next week. If the Lord say the same and we are all in the land of the living, that we'll come on and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying through us. Okay? God bless you. Have a blessed weekend, safe day, and all the good things that goes with being a child of God. God bless you. Bye-bye. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.